Okay. I was very challenged this week with what Kathy said last week. We were ending our series on victory over self. And she just made this little comment. She said, self and the Holy Spirit cannot occupy the throne at the same time. And that, I guess that was my one thing. I don't ever get to write her one thing because I'm back there doing techno stuff, but I thought, whoa, I needed to hear that. And it reminded me of when I was with Campus Outreach, we had that four spiritual laws, you know, the little tracks. And we had these circles in the back. This is kind of like you helped people identify in case they were curious or didn't figure it out which person they were. And as we've talked about, when we first, before we know Christ, he's not even in the picture. Self is on the throne, right? We are on the throne and Christ is not in the picture. Ideally, after we become a Christian, Christ is on the throne and we are submitted, we are submitted to him. So we're at the foot of the throne. But what happens a lot of the times is Christ is in the picture, but we're still on the throne. We're still on the throne. We still want control. We still don't want to surrender. And y'all, when I saw that picture in my head, I thought, you know what I'm doing? Is I'm asking God to submit to me. I'm asking God to surrender to me. And y'all, that was like a holy slap upside the head. I thought, whoa, who am I? Who am I? It's one thing for me to think, oh, I haven't totally surrendered. I haven't totally given it up. I'm trying. It's one thing for me to think that, but when I see that, that, y'all, makes me want to fall on my face. That is so sobering. But that's what we do, y'all. I do it all the time. And I'm so grieved that I do this. So that's why I loved that clip that we watched, is that when he yells and he says, Bilbo Baggins, don't you take me for some cheap conjurer of tricks. It was like God going, Dana Smith, don't you ask me to submit to you. Don't you ask me to submit to your will. I am a holy God. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Matthew 6:24 in the AMP says that no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the AMP defines mammon as deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in. So you're either going to serve yourself or you're going to serve God. You can't do both. It's not a half and half. You can't do both, y'all. That was an eye-opener for me this week. And I think the main reason that we stay on the throne is because of unbelief. Whatever that unbelief is caused by, it's still unbelief. And it's defined as unfaithful, faithless, wanting of faith without trust in God. I'll say that again. Unbelief is unfaithful, faithless, wanting of faith without trust in God. And if we truly, truly believed, then we wouldn't have any trouble getting off that throne and surrendering to God. We wouldn't have trouble doing that. I had somebody say to me this week, and I can't remember who it was because I want to give them credit, but they said, I'm working on getting God's truth from my head to my heart, but right now it's stuck in my throat. I thought, so often that's how I feel. You know, I know God's truth, and I'm working to get it to my heart. I'm working to get surrendered. But right now, it's stuck in my throat. And I'm kind of like, ugh. I feel choked up on it sometimes. Our example of this is our good old buddy Abe that Kathy taught on last summer. Romans 4, starting verse 18 through verse 21. This is in the NIV. It says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do whatever he had promised. And y'all, I love that in the face of, you know, my circumstances this week. Y'all could probably tell in the homework, you know, the example that I gave you. I've got issues with one of my children, with my son, I'll just tell you. Even if he listens to this, it won't be anything he hasn't heard. But my son is 16, and y'all, I adore him. He is the coolest kid. He is so funny. He's awesome. I tell him all the time, he's like, yeah, okay, Mom. I'm like, do you know how awesome you are? Because he just is, y'all. He's just fabulous. But he's not doing so great in school right now. And just, I mean, he just doesn't try. That's just the truth of it. He just doesn't really care. School's not fun, is what he says. It's just no fun to study. So his grades are reflecting it. And I don't get that. I was not that kind of kid. You know, if I didn't have a good grade, I was going to work to figure it out. If I didn't understand something, I was going to go take the book and teach myself. I mean, when I was in middle school, I loved math, so I worked the whole book. I just went home and did all the homework in the whole book and came back and said, I'm finished with math. She's like, okay, go do social studies. And I went and did social studies. And he's not like that. And I don't get it. So it's been very hard for me. It's been very frustrating because I just want to go, just do it. Just do it, okay? Just do it. Will you please just do it? And he doesn't. So I've had to work at accepting whatever the lot is. And I got to a point where I thought, you know what? Kathy had asked me one time because I thought, you know, he may have to repeat the 10th grade. And Kathy said, well, Dana, have you surrendered to the truth that repeating the 10th grade might be God's answer to your prayers? It might be God's best for him. I mean, that might be a good thing. I was like, oh, no, I have not. But then I did. I thought, hey, this could be like a do-over. I could get real excited about a do-over. So I kind of got excited. So last week, this is how all this came up. The beginning of this week, I called the counselor and said, you know, we're thinking about holding him back. And she said, well, Ms. Smith, you know, Jonathan got D's in all these classes. That's considered passing. I said, well, not at the Smith household. She said, well, according to the Shelby County Board of Education, that is considered passing. He doesn't get a do-over. He can't get double credit. So it was like, whew, okay, wait. So we can't hold him back, so he has to take the grades that he has, so that's on his GPA, and his GPA is what? So I kind of had to readjust, and that fear again crept in of the future of, okay, well, what if he's going to just scrape by with D's? And then later in the week, you know, my husband's job is kind of scary up in the air right now. We don't know if he's going to have a job when, and he's said things about, oh, you may have to go back to work, or I may have to get a second job, or, and I've had more than a coincidental number of friends and new people that I've met that have sons who have strayed from the Lord in their adulthood, and they're off not following the Lord. So it's just been that whole fear of the future, fear of the future, fear of the future that just keeps coming up. And I thought, you know, I've got a choice. I can either do like Abraham did, and I can decide, hey, you know what? My womb's as good as dead. I'm 100 years old, but God said he's going to give me a baby, so he's going to give me a baby because God can do what God's going to do. And Lord, I'm not praying for a baby. please, Lord. But I have to look at the current circumstances, and either I can say, well, this looks dead, so therefore, or I can say this looks dead, but God said. And so that's what I wanted us to focus on this week, is not our circumstances, but on who God is. Even in the midst of, that's crazy, it looks impossible, I want us to look at, we have two options that I found in Scripture. We have rebellion or we have rest. Those are our two options. The Israelites rebelled. Hebrews 3, starting in verse 7, we get a warning against unbelief. This is in the NIV. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That's why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, so long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And it goes on to say, so we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. So they were invited to rest. They got to see all the miracles of God for 40 years. Their shoes did not wear out. Their clothes did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. They got manna from heaven. They saw a cloud, pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. They saw all this. And yet they're building golden, they're making golden calves. They're worshiping idols. They're saying, you know, who is God? Why are we here, out here suffering in the desert? And so they didn't get to enter God's rest. They were not allowed to go into the promised land. And we don't want to be those kind of people. We don't want to not enter God's rest here on earth. God invites us to rest. And I love that that's the very end of Hebrews 3. The very next verse, Hebrews 4:1, says, therefore, because of all this, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, let us be afraid to distrust it, lest any of you should think he has come too late or has come short of reaching it. For indeed, we have had the glad tidings, the gospel of God proclaimed to us, just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith, with the leaning of the entire personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in what? In his power, his wisdom, and his goodness by those who heard it. Neither were they united in faith with the ones who heard and did believe. And that's talking about Joshua and Caleb. For we who have believed, adhered to, and trusted in, and relied on God do enter that rest. So I thought that was so encouraging to me, because I thought that promise is still true for us. God offers us rest. And so it should be a warning to us that the Israelites saw all this stuff and they still didn't believe. And y'all, we know, we have the word, we know, and yet we still don't believe. But what God is saying is, you, all of us who are sitting here, you still have the promise of my rest. You still have the promise of coming up into my arms and resting, no matter what your circumstances are, I offer you rest. Just like in the clip, Gandalf says, all these long years, we've been friends. Trust me, just like you did in the beginning. And God reminded me this week of, you know, just like in the beginning, when I first gave my life to the Lord, when y'all first gave your life to the Lord, y'all, we didn't know. I didn't know squat. Seriously, I was in college, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. God did what? He shut the mouths of the lions, and Daniel didn't get swallowed up? Uh-uh, no way. And I was like, wait. You mean there was a flood, and this dude got on a boat with all these animals, and like the whole world was destroyed? Are you kidding me? And the girl that led me to the Lord, she was like, okay, you've never heard these stories before? And I was like, I mean, I've heard of Noah's Ark, duh. But, I mean, some of those things, I thought, this is too bizarre. You've got to be kidding me. But I knew it was true because it's in the Bible. And so just like a little kid hearing these things for the first time, I was like, no way, that's so cool. Oh my gosh, God's so awesome. It's like God was saying this week, just like that, just like back then, Dana, when you thought, you are so awesome, God, you can do anything. Hello, he hasn't changed. He has not changed. He's the same God. So he was reminding me this week, he is the same God. And we're going to rehearse in a minute that the God that we serve. And the rest, I love the definition of rest when I looked up in this verse with the Greek. Yeah, what the Greek says, right? Is that right? Rest is to make quiet, to cause to be at rest, to grant rest, to lead to a quiet abode, to still restrain, to cause one striving to do something to desist. That's what he's offering us. And y'all, our choice is, what are we going to choose? Are we going to choose rebellion? Are we going to choose rest? Where are we going to reside? And will you read that? Kathy read a verse this morning in leadership, and I want her to read it again. It's John, what?
I'm going to read it so it'll be
online. Oh, yes. Thank you, Kathy. This is John 14:27 in the AMP. It says, peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. And she said this morning, you know, she was praying for somebody, said, do not allow disappointment to get in. Don't entertain it. And that's the choice that we have. Y'all, we can don't allow yourself to be agitated. When those emotions come, are you going to go to unbelief? Are you going to say, well, I know God said, but... Or are you going to allow him to take every thought captive? Are you going to say, no, I don't care what my circumstances look like. God said, my God split the Red Sea. My God closed the mouth of the lions and let Daniel not get eaten up. That's who my God is. I don't care what my circumstances look like. That's the choice that we have. When she was praying for me, praying this, she said, you know, put me on your do not call list when Satan comes around. We serve him notice. Put me on your do not call list. I'm not going to entertain this. And I thought, oh, yeah, it's like we change our phone number. You know how you all change your phone number because people keep calling you? You got to change your phone number, change your address. Either you're going to reside in rebellion or pity or control, and I put that in quotes because we really don't have control, or we're going to totally surrender to God. And that's what we called you to this week, was total surrender, and to ask God to show you a place in your life where you are not 100% totally surrendered to him, where you might be obeying your flesh, doing all the right things, but you're not completely and totally surrendered. And I know for me, a lot of times what that looks like is maybe I've gotten the promises of God before. I've gotten the promises of God, and I said, yes, Lord. I was pumped up. I was excited. Yes, I got it. And then I let fear creep in, or circumstances hit me upside the head, and I got shaky. That tends to be where where I haven't surrendered, where God has shown me I'm not completely surrendered and where I want to take it back. Sometimes I do surrender, but then I kind of take it back. So that can be what it looks like on me. And so I don't want to be that. I don't want to get stalled out in the process. So what I have to do is I have to have a battle plan. That's what that worksheet was for that y'all did this past week. And I kind of gave you a revamped version of it on your yellow page, a bigger version of it. Because I can do the I feel what God says all day long. But then if I don't rehearse it, then I forget it. So that's why I did this, because this is how I have to do, is I'll do the I feel, and I acknowledge what my feelings are. But then I also, that second column I put in there, I added was support, meaning I want to acknowledge what events or circumstances are supporting these feelings that I'm having. So my example is I feel discouraged and hopeless when it comes to my son. And what's supporting that? Well, his report card supports that, and his attitude supports that. Now, this is going to be a clue for me that when I come back around, I want to have a strategy for when he brings him a bad report card. I want to have a strategy for when he shows this bad attitude, because this is what's setting me off. But then I say, what does God say? Well, he says in Jeremiah 29:11 that he has a plan, and that's good. And obviously, that plan includes him making D's on his report card right now. And so what is support for that? I want to reinforce that with something. And it can either be something from scripture, from a character in scripture, Abraham. But for me, I had the same situation with my daughter, my older daughter. Same exact situation a few years ago. And all of a sudden, light bulb. It just switched. And she just changed. And I was like, what happened? I asked her. I said, what happened? She said, I just realized I could do it. Basically, she got a touch from the Lord. God opened her eyes and opened her heart to go, you can do this. And so I say, okay, you know what? God says he has a plan that is good. I've seen that. So God's going to turn Jonathan's heart, whether that affects his grades or not. That's not what I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with his heart. And God is using this in Jonathan's heart to teach him something. That's what I want to focus on, is Jonathan's heart, not what his grades are. So that's what I'm praying. It's just like he turned Jennifer's heart using her circumstances, I want God to turn Jonathan's heart using these circumstances. And so then, based on what God says and what I've seen, what am I going to do about it? And I exhorted you guys last week, this is not a, okay, let's pull up our bootstraps and get a plan and go work hard. I wanted this week to focus more on connecting with God. Because I can so, I mean, I'm real good at getting my pulling up my bootstraps and going and doing my ABC 1, 2, 3. And that just takes me right back to here. It's like a vicious cycle. I don't want to go back to here. I want to go to here. So my strategies were, I want to redefine good and successful. Okay? Because in my mind, good and successful is you make good grades on your report card, so you get into a decent college, and then you can be an architect like you want to. You've always wanted to be an architect. That's what good and successful is. Well, who said? God didn't say that. Really, truly good is being in the center of God's will. So I wanted to redefine that so I can renew my mind with that. I wanted to surrender the future to God and exchange my vision for all his possibilities. I want to exchange my agenda, my vision for what I think is good and successful to all the possibilities. Maybe Jonathan's going to be a mechanic. Maybe he's going to be fast food at Wendy's. He said, for my second career, after I'm done being janitor at McDonald's, and I laughed, okay, maybe he'll be janitor at McDonald's. Okay, let's just get all these possibilities out of the way and say successful is if his heart is in the center of God's will, if his heart is after, if it's after the Lord. So I wanted to surrender to all of the different possibilities. Then I wanted to realize that my current circumstances just might be God's answer to my prayers. Whatever these circumstances are, him bringing home D's, him bringing home F's. He did bring home an F. Him having to go to summer school, him deciding he wants to quit school, whatever those circumstances might be, instead of seeing them as a setback or seeing them as bad, I want to say, you know what? I have been praying for this boy, and God has promises, and he's on the scene. So obviously this is an answer to my prayer. I want to see these as God at work in him and God answering my prayers rather than thinking he's not on time. And then I want to thank him for the current circumstances that are going on. So none of that is really me getting out and going out and doing. This is all renewing my mind, getting my mind focused on the right thing so that when I go back to that, he comes home with a bad report card or his attitude is stinky, my mind is going to be ready. My heart's going to be ready to respond in the right way rather than choosing, here we go again. Why? Why can you not get this through your head? Which is where I typically go. I can go, okay, well, you know, this is what it is. And remind him of who he is. Remind him, love him where he is. I'll be ready to do that, whereas I wouldn't have been before. Does that make sense? So that's what that worksheet was for. And you have a bigger one in case you weren't able to do that this week or you need to do it some more. You can do that. And I was also challenged this week to really get an eternal mindset. Because for God, I mean, time is eternity. Today is now, tomorrow is now to him. But for us, this life on earth seems so important and it seems so crucial. But God is always thinking about eternity. So I've been thinking about eternity this week, and I've been thinking about heaven. And y'all, when I think about heaven and I think about where Jonathan's going, I know where Jonathan's going. I know where Lizzie's going. I know where Jennifer's going. You know what? Really? So then what difference does it make what he does for a career? Really, what difference does it make if he goes to college? Really? That really gives me perspective, and it gets me so excited when I think about heaven. So the first song when we sing, we're going to sing a song about heaven. And then I've just been spending a lot of time this week renewing my mind of who my God is and the fact that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I want you guys to bow your heads. I'm going to lead you in kind of that, well, before you bow your heads, I'm going to tell you what you've got. I'm going to lead you in a visualization, kind of an exercise like I've done before. And then I'll pray, and we're going to sing after. But I'm going to tell you kind of what you have on your table, your handouts. You can use any or all of these. You don't have to use all of these today. But as you're sitting at your table, as you're seeking the Lord for your surrender, any additional places where you need to surrender. This handout, Remember the Deeds, is a great one. There's tons of verses. Kathy did this. You did this, right? Kathy did this about remembering the deeds of the Lord. This is also helpful on that worksheet, on that second support column that'll help you on that. There's also a surrender worksheet that gets real specific. It'll help you if you list all your people and your places and your pursuits. God can identify where you're hesitant with your surrender. So that's also a good tool. Okay, now if you'll bow your heads. And just keep your pen handy as I talk, and any notes that you need to make, feel free to do that. And I want you to picture yourself, and whatever that is, just ask God. God, we just want to pray right now, asking you to reveal to us, God, any place that you want to put your finger on, God, where we need to surrender, God, any place where we're still holding on, even if it's with our pinky toe, God, would you show us where we're not completely surrendered to you, God, we are still trying to sit on that throne. And God, y'all just bring that place to him. Just picture yourself coming to him with whatever that is. And picture yourself in his throne room. And I want to remind you of who it is that is inviting you to his rest. This is our God. He created the universe, the world, and everything in it. He creates living organisms so small that you can't even see them with a naked eye. And at the same time, he creates the blue whale, which is massive. He created Adam from dust, and his breath caused life to flow in him. He created Eve from a rib. He created the human body with all its inner workings and parts. I mean, just think about that for just a second. All your capillaries and your cells and your veins, all the work that they do, your red blood cells, your white blood cells, all your brain synapses. He created every fiber. He continues to create life today. He will take a cell and place it in a woman's womb. And then he adds cells to it. And he tells every single cell where it's supposed to go and what it's supposed to do. He's the reason why your nose isn't on the top of your head. To me, that's miraculous that our body even comes out looking normal. This is your God. He split the Red Sea so his people could cross on dry ground. He stopped time. He spoke through a donkey. He protected Jonah in the belly of a fish. He shut the lion's mouths for Daniel. He sent manna from heaven. He led his people in a cloud by day and fire by night. For 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out and their feet didn't swell. He brought down an entire city with a shout and the blast of a trumpet. He became a man. He healed. He caused the dead to live again. This is your God. Think of his creativity. He makes each of us uniquely different. None of us have the same fingerprint. None of us have the same DNA. Think of all the colors that he's created. Think of that ginormous crayon box that you used to have in kindergarten with the 124 colors. And know that there are millions more. Every shade of every color he created. Think of the flowers. In the spring, as I'm sure you've all been in your yards or in your gardens or gone to the garden shops, all the different flowers, every different color, every different type, every different breed of flower and tree and plant. His creativity is unlimited. Think about sea life and animal life. All the variety, how he makes all those animals and sea creatures different. How there are still creatures and animals in the sea that have yet to be discovered. This is your God, y'all. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is your God. This is who you're bringing your troubles to. This is who you are surrendering to. This God that can do anything. This God that can produce a baby in a 100-year-old woman's womb. This God who can bring dead to life. Is your situation too dead for God? For this God, you have a choice. You can hold on to your perceived control as though that's going to do any good anyway. God is God, and he's going to do what he's going to do. Or you can enter God's rest. You can enter God's rest so that no matter what your circumstances are, you can remain strong and stable and protected and safe. Because you're in his presence. And because he is with you and will never leave you. So picture yourself coming before this God, before that God that I just described, who is the same God that you serve today. Picture yourself coming before him. And pray along with me. God, we just come before you. God, we acknowledge that you are holy and awesome God. God, when we think about the things that you've done, we can't even wrap our brain around these things. And you've done so many more things than I even mentioned. We don't even have time to talk about all the things that you've done. And God, as we think about the things that you've done, even in our own lives, God, we're just blown away, and yet we still harbor unbelief. Lord, forgive us. God, forgive us for not trusting you. Forgive us for our lack of faith. God, forgive us for sitting on the throne of our own lives and asking you to submit to us. God, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that even though the Israelites continued to reject you, you continued to offer them your rest. You continued to offer them your hand of peace. God, we thank you that you continue to offer the same to us. And God, we want to reach out and accept it. So God, I just pray that you would help us to visualize us just letting it go. God, just like in that video clip where Gandalf said to Bilbo, trust me, just like you did in the beginning, and let it go. So God, just like we surrendered our lives in the beginning, when we first gave our lives to you, just like we said, okay, God, I give up. You can have it. Take my life. God, I know at that time for me, it kind of felt like I was being pinned to the mat. It kind of felt like I was saying, okay, I'm just going to give up all this stuff, but I know that what you've got is better. But God, I pray that we would go beyond that today, God, that we would see your surrender is not being pinned to the mat. Your surrender is not waving the white flag. That your surrender goes beyond that, God, that what you're asking us to do is to climb up in your lap and to be held by you, to be held by those arms that created the universe, and to be held by those arms that can carry us, to be held by those arms that want to take those things that are so dear to us. And you want to show us what your plan is. You want to show us what you want to do. And God, we want to be with you. We want to be with you as we see those plans unfold. I want to be with you as I see the plans for my son unfold. I don't want to be apart from you. I don't want to be trying to do it on my own, wondering, where are you, God? I don't want to be that person, God, and nobody here wants to be that. So God, I pray that we would, by an act of our will, crawl up into your arms right now, God, that we could see ourselves just dropping whatever baggage we've got in our arms. God, that we could picture ourselves taking that heavy yoke off of our necks. God, help us to feel the weight of what we're carrying. As small as we may think it is, help us to feel how weighty it is. And God, I pray that we would want to run to get off of that. And I pray that we would climb up into your arms and feel your embrace. We would feel your warmth. God, that we would hear your heartbeat and we could hear you whisper into our ears. It's okay, I got it. It's okay. Don't you worry. You can rest and I have got it. I'm in control. No matter what you see, no matter what you feel, I promise you, I am in control and I've got this. I am at work. I am answering your prayers. Do not believe the enemy who would tell you anything different. God, I pray that you would help us to refuse to entertain disappointment or hopelessness or fear. Because God, you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So God, we choose to exercise that spirit of power and of love and of sound mind right now in our current circumstance, and we give it to you. And we declare that the same God who did all these things we just talked about is the God who is at work in this situation in our lives. And we will not surrender it to the enemy. Satan, we serve you. Notice, we will not surrender this to the enemy. We will not give you rule and reign here. God is in control, and he who is in us is greater than you. You have no power. So stop calling us. We do not receive it. And I pray, God, that you would heal our receivers, and God, that you would heal our believers. Just like Kathy prayed for me at the retreat, and I don't know what happened, but when she prayed, God, that you would heal my believer was healed. So in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person that is in this room and every person that is hearing this online, that you would heal their believers in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you will do that and that you have done that, that that is your will, that we believe you. That is our work, to believe you. So God, we commit these things to you. God, we want to come with empty hands and open hearts to receive what you have for us. I pray, God, that you would give us ears to hear you as we worship you, as we praise you. God, that you would help us to feel the lightness of the load that we have when we are in your yoke, the lightness of the burden that you give us, God, that you have carried our burdens for us. And we thank you. We thank you for our current circumstances. We thank you if they get worse, and we thank you if they get better. We thank you, God, that you are in control and that you are on the throne. We surrender, God. We surrender. We surrender. In the name of Jesus, we surrender. God, be our surrender. God, we believe, but help us in our unbelief. God, we love you, we honor you, we worship you, we adore you. We submit to you, God, knowing that you will do a work. We surrender, God, to the miraculous. We surrender, God, to your power. We surrender to whatever it is that you want to do. And I pray, God, that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're doing in each of our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.